Today's reading is Psalms 46. Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of Scripture. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Glorious Lord, as we gather in this place, as we hear your word proclaimed, I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are the great Redeemer, the Creator, the lover of all. Amen. For the month of May, we are embarking on a sermon series, The Word in Song. And so we're looking at some sacred music. This would be one of our sacred songs out of our hymnal. Some secular music that has a sacred message. And we'll be exploring those throughout the month of May. Today's song is, It Is Well With My Soul. And our sermon is, How Is It With Your Soul? I want to give you a little history about where this song came from. The author of this music, or the words, actually not the music, was Horatio Spafford, and he was a Presbyterian. He was very active in his church, and he was from Chicago. He had a very successful leader or a legal practice, and served the Lord well. Some of his close friends were Dwight Moody, who is a great evangelist in the Christian church, who was also from Chicago. He was very fortunate in his business, but in the Chicago fire in 1871, he lost a lot of property and he owned a lot along the Michigan shoreline and basically lost all of his assets overnight. He was struggling pretty much a lot with that, and in the midst of that, his son died, and he was experiencing financial disaster. The story goes on, though, because that was not the worst to come, sort of like Job's story. And he decided that he would join Dwight Moody in some of his missionary work in Great Britain. And so he was going to take the family across the sea and spend some time and just sort of put some of the bad things that they'd experienced behind them. At the last minute, Horatio was not able to take the trip, but he sent his wife and their four daughters and off to Europe to be with the Moodies, and and so he was going to follow within a few days. On November 22nd, the ship they were on was struck by another ship, an English vessel, and it sank in 12 minutes. Several days later, the survivors finally landed in England, in Wales, and his wife sent the message, saved alone. They had lost all four of their daughters in that shipwreck. He immediately got on a boat to join his wife, and as he was floating across the sea and got to the point where the sinking had happened, he was inspired to write the words to this song. One of his favorite passages was Psalm 46, and a lot of that is what drives the words of this song. And as Dusty said, there's some there's some kind of bad things in there. There's some really hard things in this song. And so imagine losing all of your children and still being able to say, as he did, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, you know, really stormy seas, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And even in his grief, even in his ultimate sorrow, he was able to pen those words and those other ones that talk about God's never-ending presence in our lives. Even in the worst of experiences, Horatio was able to trust God and overcome all of the horrible things that had happened to him. This question that is our sermon title, How Is It With Your Soul?, is one that John Wesley used often. John Wesley actually came before Horatio wrote this, but John Wesley and the early Methodists, when they were committed to their class meetings, and if you were here last week, we saw those class meetings, the holy clubs, much like our GIGs, our growth and impact groups, and they would ask one another, how is it with your soul? That would be one of the questions that they would ask each time they gathered for study, each time they gathered with one another. And the question today actually might look a little bit different. We might say, how is it with your soul? Or we might say, how is it in your spiritual life? That's the question we ask one another as people of faith. It's a question that we should ask ourselves often. It's a question that we should ask one another often. And so I ask you today, how is it with your soul? Deep inside each and every one of us, at the very depths of who we are is our soul. And at that very depth are the things, the emotions, the things that are greatly important to us, the things that drive us in our daily lives, the things that feed us inside our bodies. And so when our souls are at peace, when our emotions are in check, then we can say, it is well with my soul. But when family relationships, when loss, when health issues, when work challenges that bear down on us come into play, our souls become battered and it's harder to say, it is well with my soul. Sorrow permeates all of our lives in one way, shape, or form. And sometimes we forget that God is the refuge that we should seek when our soul is feeling sorrowful, when our soul is feeling battered, when we're overcome by the heavy things that are of life. As I prepared this sermon, I asked myself this question, how is it with my soul? And it was interesting because I had a lot of answers. In fact, I had a lot of mixed answers. And when I consider the relationships that I have grown in ministry here with you folks in Tipton, I think, my soul is good. But then I remember that I carry this grief of my husband's death, and my soul grieves. And I think about how not moving to Tipton, while it was what I needed to heal, is causing some angst amongst some of you. And as I think of the great conversations that I'm having with youth, and I had a great conversation Wednesday with confirmation, and had a great conversation this morning with confirmation. They're an insightful group. We talked about a lot of things, and they asked a lot of really good questions about trying to understand their faith. And when I finish with that, even Ron was saying, slow down, you're running all around. I was scurrying back and forth because I was really uplifted by the conversations that I had with them. And then my soul says, it is good, and I can be my authentic self, and I know that I am called by God to mentor young people. But then my soul becomes heavy again because I'm your first female pastor in this church. And actually, there's probably some that think I'm not necessarily capable of serving, that a pastor doesn't look like this, a woman. I was getting my hair done, and I said, this is what a pastor looks like. But for some, a woman is not what a pastor looks like. It's a middle-aged white man or whatever, honestly, right? That's who you've had. And so So my soul gets a little hurt by that, because the kingdom of God gets hurt when we're not accepting of all people who can use their gifts for God, either in music or in liturgy, in serving, in all the ways that we do, when we don't all look the same. Because God uses all of us, no matter who we are or what we look like. Our job as Christ Church is to build up the kingdom of God for all people. Build up the kingdom of God for all people. That's what we're called to do as Christ Church. And leaders and pastoral leadership and those who come into relationship with Christ through these church all need to be built up so that the kingdom of God can be built up. And when we can't do that for one another, then we have trouble doing it outside our walls. We have trouble going out of this place and serving for Christ. As I think back through my ministry of 16 years, I see where God has used my gifts to bring others into relationship with Christ, people of all ages. And my soul rejoices. My soul said, it is well. But there have been trials in my ministry, in my ministry in some other churches, and I have bravely, with God's help, waded through those trials. Life, my friends, is about trial. And I seek every day to start my time with God so that when trials happen, when trials come my way, I have the best strength behind me, because I take refuge in our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't have the same viewpoint as others. Sometimes we have to endure things because God calls us to do that. And sometimes it's really hard. And instead of letting those things pull us down, pull us away from God, we're called to allow them to draw us in closer to God. And that's what I seek to do. I seek to draw in closer to God. Because when things get tough, I stick as close to God as I can. And only God can protect us in these really hard times. Only God could help Horatio use the words, "It is well with my soul," when his soul was battered by his loss, battered by the hardship. We all have a soul. It's what goes to heaven. When our bodies are no longer alive, our bodies either are cremated or go in the ground, but our soul goes to heaven, and that soul needs to be tended all the time. And our soul was created for wonderful things. And when we support and love one another, then our soul thrives inside us. But sorrow and grief can greatly affect the soul. In the United States, depression affects more than 16 million people. That's a staggering statistic. And actually, those are the ones that are reported, so there's probably others. And depression is made worse when the soul knows that it was created for better things and it's not receiving it. You see those commercials on TV for all the depression medication, and the person is longing to walk the dog, longing to play with their children, longing to do something with their spouse. Their soul is longing for those better things. And sometimes medicine is the answer. That's what that commercial is about, medicine. But for others, it's doing for others. It's being in relationship with others. It's practicing our relationship with Jesus Christ and with God, our Creator, that can help our soul mend, our soul experience things that are lifting up and helps the soul be better. Brian said, make sure you pay attention to verse 10, and I have it in my notes, make sure I pay attention to verse 10, so I'm going to read it again for you. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Our soul will not know God unless we be still and let God enter into those deep and very personal places within each and every one of us. And we can't go it alone. We need God. We need to be still. We need to not rush around so much that we miss out on our relationship with God. And we must rely on God in the hard things, as well as thank God in the easy things and the good things. I would hope that we could also rely on one another. So my question for you, along with how is it with your soul, is what activities, what practices draw you closer to Christ, and which ones pull you away? Ultimately, do you rely on God or do you not rely on God? Because God is the one that will keep us on the right track. God is the one that will bring us a sense of peace, even when sea billows roll, as the song says, as the storms rage around us. So back to, how is it with my soul? My soul is tired. My soul is grieving. My soul longs to find rest. And so I've been trying to find ways to find rest, to go into God's presence, to help me deal with challenging interactions, transition to a new appointment, experience, life experiences. My son went to prom last night. I didn't have my husband there to go with me to take pictures. And I noticed, my soul noticed. Graduation is about 3.5 weeks away. Again, my soul will notice. I'm going to be recognized at annual conference for completing the 9 years that it took me to complete my schooling, because I made my family a priority. I made my life a priority with my family. And I'm going to continue to endure those firsts without Dale. And my soul is tired. My soul is very tired. But I will, like Horatio, dwell closely to God, be still in God. And I will know with great certainty that it is well with my soul, because I have God in those deep places of my soul. The Lord has taught me to say, it is well with my soul, even when my soul is tired, even when my soul is grieving. Amen.